What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums?
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, it is a Football Friday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app, 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram where I'm straight flexing, or via that good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket Can, coming up hour 20 from now. Howard Griffith will join us. We'll preview this upcoming weekend in college football at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific. Former Denver Bronco Ryan Harris will swing by. Is this the last week we're going to have to deal with Nathaniel Hackett as the head coach of the Denver Broncos? Then in his weekly Football Friday spot, doing picks up against yours truly, Jersey Jerry from Barstool Sports at 9:20 p.m. Eastern, 6:20 p.m. Pacific. But first up, producing the extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
I don't know about that Hot Take Hickey.
It's been a rough 24 hours for my favorite quarterback, my favorite football player of all time, in the great Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time. Not only did he lose last night to the Baltimore Ravens, where they kind of teased people early on. It was 10-3, and when we're doing the show last night and it's 10-3, I'm sitting here and I'm saying, if they could get to 17-3 with the way that the scoring was not really present in the game, I would think to myself, okay, you get to 17-3, you take a commanding lead, you find a way to grind out the game and win the game. But they were never able to get to that 17-3 count. And in a blink of an eye, the Baltimore Ravens not only took control of the game, but they ended up winning the game. And it was another performance where nothing really looked right for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And you factor in this morning, this divorce that we were all told was basically the marriage was about to be fractured between Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen. We find out that Gisele not only filed for divorce today, but the attorneys, they ironed everything out. And now Tom Brady is single and Gisele Bündchen is single as well. So we're not going to do much on the whole divorce. I know that you have two public stars in Gisele and Tom Brady breaking up. It is a big story, but there's really not much you could say about that front. But on the football side of things, this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team right now, they stink. Defensively, they're terrible, and that's alarming because I was really confident with that defense heading into the season, and even after the first game of the season, it looked like that defense was back to championship form. You suffer a big blow last night as Shaq Barrett's going to be out for the rest of the season with the Achilles injury. Their head coach is horrible in Todd Bowles. Everyone said, you got to give Todd Bowles another chance to be an NFL head coach in this league. And Todd Bowles may just be a great defensive coordinator, but a head coach that is extremely underwhelming. And then on offense, they can't do anything. And the most mystifying part about the offense is the most simple connection of Brady to Mike Evans the last 2 weeks has been the farthest thing from simple. It's extremely complicated right now. I know if you look at the numbers, you'll see that Mike Evans had over 100 receiving yards last night on a few catches, but they have not had the synergy that they're used to the last three seasons. Last week, It was so bizarre when Tom Brady threw the ball wide open to Mike Evans right in the breadbasket, and he dropped what would have been a 75-yard touchdown. And then this week, Brady has Mike Evans wide open in the end zone, and I don't even know if Shaquille O'Neal or Yao Ming were the wide receivers instead of Mike Evans, if they would have been able to catch the ball that was thrown by one TB12. So this is a Bucs offense where you have Evans, Godwin now back in the fold, gave you a little jolt, started to play a little bit better last night. Leonard Fournette, that run game has not been good, but that's really the Bucs weapons on offense. And on paper, you hear Evans, you hear Godwin, you hear Brady, you hear Fournette. You think it will be good, but that offensive line has been so bad. Brady doesn't have a lot of time, and even when he gets time, Brady is starting to look human. Now, with all that being said, do I think Tom Brady's cooked? Do I think Tom Brady's done? Do I think he's finished? No, I don't. And this is a team where they have the luxury of the NFC South being horrible. Like, I can't believe this. I knew this would have been the case, but when I read it again and I heard it again today, I go, that just doesn't sound right. The winner of this Falcons-Panthers game this weekend, this is the biggest joke of the year. Like, as much as I clown Hickey for all of his awful football takes, and we'll hear his Penn State delusion later on in the show, we'll hear his awful predictions on the Denver Broncos, I'm sure we'll rehash those later on in the show. As much comedy as there is, like my NFL picks this year to this season, the funniest thing I think I've ever heard, maybe in my life, is that the winner of this Falcons-Panthers game is going to be in first place after 8 weeks in the NFC South. The Panthers just fired their coach a few weeks ago, and the Falcons are not good, but they're gritty. And being gritty and competing for your coach may actually win you this division. Like, when I look at the NFC South, disclaimer from the start, I think Tampa's still winning the division. I think Tampa will get to 8 wins, and you could have an 8-9 team in the playoffs. Yuck. That just does not sound right. But if I had to pick one team that will challenge Tampa this year, it's not the Saints. They're 2-5. They're probably going to lose this weekend to the Raiders, as you have Michael Thomas out once again, Jarvis Landry out once again, and I can't trust when Andy Dalton or Jameis Winston is your quarterback in the year of 2022. So the Saints, to me, I just don't believe in. Then you look at the Carolina Panthers. How can you believe in the Panthers? And I went to Temple. I was college classmates with P.J. Walker. God bless him. Guy played a heck of a game last weekend against Tampa Bay. I'm not expecting P.J. Walker to consistently be the guy in Carolina this season. And offensively, I don't think their offense is sustainable. Other than D.J. Moore, there's not a player that you need to have on the Carolina Panthers offense. So that leaves the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the struggling, anemic, lifeless, just dull Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the Atlanta Falcons. And for Atlanta, I know A.J. Terrell's not expected to play this week. You look at their offensive side of the ball, Marcus Mariota, if you limit him to about 15, 20 throws a game and have him kill you with his legs, and you have Drake London, you have Kyle Pitts, they'll be in games. Like, they have been, other than last week against the Bengals, they have been in every game this year. And they're not that good. They were supposed to be a top five team or bottom five team this year, top five in the draft. And they're not going to finish in the top five because they're believing in their coach, Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith has them playing better than where they should be with the lack of talent on this roster. So if I had to give you a team outside of Tampa Bay in the NFC South, I would go with the Falcons, but I can't sit here and tell you that I'm jumping up and down like a fat kid in a candy store, giddy, and having this big-time confidence that Atlanta's going to win the division. So Tampa's going to win the division, but that's not why Tom Brady plays football now. Tom Brady plays football each and every year, Super Bowl or bust, Super Bowl or bust. And here's the question that I have with how ugly it is right now. And maybe they go to 3-6 because they have the Rams next week. Both those teams are struggling. We'll see what the Rams will do this week up against the 49ers. It was already announced that Deebo Samuel is not going to play for the 49ers this week. But if Tampa goes to 3-6, you're digging yourself in a deep hole. With that being said, though, it's not that tough to climb out of this hole because of how bad this division is. Now, if you just get into the dance, do you have a shot if you're Tampa Bay? I guess. Because how many great teams are there in the NFC right now? One, the Philadelphia Eagles. Other than that, like, Giants are really good. They're 6-1. Is anyone expecting the Giants to get to the Super Bowl this year? No. Dallas, they're 5-2. But anytime Dallas in a big game, they choke. The NFC North, I like Minnesota. I don't love Minnesota. Green Bay, I'm starting to think Green Bay misses the playoffs. You look at the NFC West, do you feel good about any of those teams? Seattle right now is sitting on top of the NFC West. I would think San Francisco's well-rounded roster gets in the division. The Rams, their line stinks right now. And you look at the Arizona Cardinals, and maybe this is the year where they start off slow and then they finish strong the rest of the way instead of the reverse course of action that they've been doing for the last few years. Start off really strong and then sloppy down the stretch. So if it wasn't for the fact that they played in the NFC South, and if it wasn't for the fact that the NFC is not really filled with great teams this year, I'm not going to count out Tom Brady yet. Because all Tom Brady needs is his offensive line to perform well. And even if he lost a little bit, which I'm not going to say that he just rapidly declined out of nowhere and people are going to tell me, well, Zach, Father Time is always undefeated. The guy just led the league in passing yards and passing touchdowns last year. And I know that since it's Brady, everyone's like, the sky is falling. It's finally happening. I'm not telling you he's been great. He's 8 touchdowns, 1 interception through the first now 8 weeks of the season. Those aren't great numbers. It can be fixable, but we're not really going to know if it's fixable until they get to the postseason. Because right now, I don't see this team. Like, if I give you the apex of their regular season from here on out, if everything goes right and everything won't go right, they'll be a 9-win team. Now, you usually think a 9-win team's not going to be good enough to win the division, but if you get 9 wins in the NFC South, you'll comfortably win that division. So I think Tampa is on this path of going to 8-9 and just finding a way to get into the postseason. But from here on out, the question is, can that defense get back to championship form, and can you get Brady time to throw the football? And if you get that defense back to championship form, in addition to, and most importantly, you could go block for Tom Brady, I'm not going to count out Tom Brady. This reminds me a lot of Brady's final year in New England. Now, it didn't get this ugly as it's getting in Tampa Bay, but that roster in Tampa Bay this year is better than what he had in New England. And every single person told me, Brady's done, Brady's shot, his career's coming to a close in that final year in New England. And I sat there and I said, if he just gets some time from his offensive line, because that offensive line was horrible that year, they'll be fine. The next year, goes to Tampa Bay, has more weapons. You have an offensive line that actually protected him. And it wasn't smooth sailing, but at the end of the year, what did Tom Brady do? Held up a Lombardi trophy, held up another Super Bowl MVP trophy as well. Am I expecting Tampa to be a Super Bowl team? No. But I'm not going to write the eulogy today like every other talk show host in America that's been waiting for 20 years for the decline of Tom Brady, because I have not seen enough from any other team really in the NFC South to make me say that Tampa's definitely not going to win that division. And outside of the Philadelphia Eagles, there's not another team in the NFC that I absolutely love this year. Hickey, what are your thoughts here? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. What do you make of this Bucs 3-5 start, and where do you think they will be at the end of the regular season?
This reminds me a lot of 2020, Tom Brady's first year in Tampa Bay, because it was, for the first 12 weeks, it was ugly. The offense could not get on the same page. They just couldn't get going. Offensively, they weren't really explosive
whatsoever. But it wasn't
this ugly. No.
This is a different level of ugliness.
But I feel like the issues that were solved then are also the same issues that can be solved now. Like,
yeah, but they haven't played one good game of offense.
But I think it's fixable. Like, again, like, Tom Brady's still leading the league in passing yards so far this season. I know he's not converting the red zone. That's an issue for sure. But it's not like he's declining. It's not like, you know, the guys around him, like Mike Evans, did not get worse or forget how to, you know, play football.
He's clearly frustrated. And I don't know how much of this is his personal life. That's not fair to speculate, but it is what it is. He's clearly frustrated. Maybe it's on the field and off the field. It can be both. But there's simple layup throws that he's not hitting. And I don't think it's because his skill level declined. I just think the frustration of constantly getting destroyed on the field because of the bad offensive line play is making the little things look more complicated than what they need to be.
But again, I think it's just a lot of timing where it will come back. Like, again, you mentioned the overthrow of Mike Evans in the end zone.
Horrible.
A horrendous overthrow, something we've never really seen from Tom Brady. I think that's, again, fixable. I don't think I would be surprised if we're sitting here in week 15 and a lot of the same issues and a lot of the same throws he's missing now, he's still missing then.
Fixable, though, to what extent? Can you still see this team getting to the Super Bowl is my question?
Right now? Yeah, I still can. Again, you mentioned it, like the Eagles right now are the best team in the NFL. Are they peaking too early? That's a concern I have right now personally. And outside of them, no one else in the NFC has looked very good.
I mean, here's probably the best way to say it.
Wide open.
There's nothing that tells me they're going to turn it around. It's more so the lack of confidence with everybody else, where if you just give Brady an invitation to the dance, we've seen this from time in and time again that he delivers. Now, if you put a gun to my head right now and told me, is Tampa going to the Super Bowl? I would say no, but I'm not ready to say that they're going to miss the playoffs outright. Their schedule, though, it's not difficult, but it's not easy. It's like one of those schedules where you go, there's a lot of toss-ups, 50-50s on this. Like next week is a 50-50 game against the Rams. The week after that, Seattle's now a 50-50 game. Cleveland, they miss Watson, so they should win that game. The Saints have played them tough. Now, they beat them earlier this year. San Francisco, 50-50 game. Bengals have the edge. Cardinals, 50-50 game. The Panthers aren't beating them twice in a season. Then you get the Falcons. Right now, that's a 50-50 game. So it's not like it's a schedule where you go, oh, my goodness gracious, loss. But it's not a schedule where you say win. This is a 50-50 schedule. And right now they have 3 wins. They got to get 5 wins. Is anyone in the NFC South going to exceed 8 wins this year? Forget the Saints and the Panthers. Will the Falcons get to 8 wins this year?
I would lean towards no. Like you said, I just don't think a talent is there to sustain a good season for the entirety of a 17-game stretch.
So, you look at the schedule the rest of the way. They're going to need to take 5 games against the Rams, the Seahawks, Cleveland, the Saints, 49ers, Bengals, Arizona, Carolina, and Atlanta. So you go, they got to go 5-4. That's what they're going to have to do. They have to go 5-4 in that stretch the rest of the way. If they do that, they'll be in the postseason. You just have to play slightly above 500 ball. But then come playoff time, that's when you're going to be doubted, and that's when we're really going to see what this team is made out of. I don't like the coach as a head coach in this league. The defense looks lost. You always believe in Brady, but that line, with all the injuries that they've suffered, those guys up front got to start playing better. Now, Brady's not exonerated from blame here. We've talked about the simple throws that he's not making, but you see down the left sideline when he hits Mike Evans last night, Tom Brady, it's not like he's shot. Not like his career is over, but it's just not going to be a pretty story during the regular season. And then come postseason time, we'll see if he can flip that feeling. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. How do you evaluate the Bucs through their first 8 weeks of the season? 855-212-4CBS. We'll take a break. When we come on back, we'll flip this to the other side. The Ravens, they're starting to roar, and they're really starting to soar and fly high. How good can the Ravens be this year, and can they get on the same level as the Bills and the Chiefs will discuss next?
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
If you love to travel, you love cool experiences, I think you're going to love Viator. If you haven't heard, Viator is the world's leading travel experience marketplace. They've got everything from simple tours to extreme adventures, all the cool and interesting stuff in between as well. Well, this year, my wife and kids are making one of my bucket list trips come true. We're going to Sun Valley. So we're going to fly to Sun Valley, and I tell you, the thought of bringing skis, poles, boots, snowboards, everything, overwhelming. But that's where Viator came in. They made this incredibly easy. I just opened the Viator app, searched Sun Valley, and boom, Viator arranges a first-class experience, custom ski, snowboard, and boot fittings and tickets delivered right to the condo. It's pretty amazing. Experiences are what we love most about travel. They create these long-lasting moments and make memories that will last a lifetime. Just download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking. One app, over 300,000 experiences you'll remember. Do more with Viator.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You can think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. The Baltimore Ravens, they win last night. I don't want to say they looked great last night. They got off to a slow start, had some struggles early on offense. Defensively, they're not a great unit, but when push came to shove, that Ravens defense did a good job bending but not breaking. Now, the Bucs offense has a lot of problems this year. We know that. On the offensive side of the ball, I was impressed by the Ravens last night because Mark Andrews leaves the game. Rashad Bateman leaves the game. You know Dobbins is now out because he had to get surgery again. This was once again the Lamar Jackson show. And after the game, Lamar Jackson run off the field, sees a fan that has a sign, pay the man, and he is holding up the sign. He's exactly right. I don't understand why people hate Lamar Jackson. I love Lamar Jackson. He is such a fun player. He's one of the top 10 exciting players in this league. He's easily a top 10 quarterback. He's a great player. And I could, if I take my fandom out of it, like it doesn't affect the team that I root for, I could easily root for Lamar Jackson. He's one of the more likable players in the NFL. So the Ravens are a team that they win last night. They went into this game at 4-3. They get to 5-3. But really, they should be, worst case, one loss on this season. Because you know the script with the Ravens. They were up 35-14 in the fourth quarter against the Dolphins. Couldn't slam the doors shut. Still, that's wild to me. I don't care how many weapons Miami has with Tua Tagovailoa, Tyreek Hill, and Jalen Waddle, waddling like a penguin. You should be able to protect the lead 35-14. I don't care if you have Brady, Montana, Jerry Rice, Randy Moss on the other side. I don't care who you're going up against. When you're at 35-14, it's not at like halftime. You're 35-14 in the fourth quarter. You have to find a way to slam that door shut. Then they go up 20-3 against the Bills. All right, not the end of the world. You blow that game. Not a good one. But I could have at least understood that because of how great the Buffalo Bills are. And then you're up against 10 against the Giants, and unfortunately Lamar Jackson with the interception, the fumble, all that, basically gave the game away. So this Ravens team, they're dangerous, and they're a lot better than what their record actually says there are. With that being said, though, we went through their schedule yesterday. There's not going to be many opportunities with how easy that schedule is from here on out to make you tangibly like grab onto something and go, wow, the Baltimore Ravens are one of the best teams in the NFL. But I do think that this will be a top five team in the NFL at the end of the season. And I do think that they are a force in the AFC, but we don't know how great they could be. Like, they're very good. We won't know if they could be great until you get to the playoffs. And this is a team where in the big moments this year on defense, they've crumbled and they've failed. And the thing that concerns me, the one thing that also concerns me the Ravens too, as great as Lamar is, they're once again asking him to do everything. And in the NFL, which is a team sport, when you ask one player to do everything, that concerns me. Now, Lamar, to get it to this point and to be at 5-3, even with some of the disasters, it's better to be in that spot than, let's say, Arizona, where they ask Kyler Murray to do everything, and that team is 3-4, and they're struggling to make the playoffs this year. When you ask a player to do everything in football, it's not a formula for success, but this Ravens team has the right coach, and they have the quarterback, but ultimately that defense is going to have to help them out come playoff time. So I thought last night, not that it was overwhelmingly positive, but it was a step in the right direction. But really, Ryan, this is not going to be a team, even if they go on a monster winning streak from here on out, that you're going to say they're definitely going to a Super Bowl until they prove it come playoff time, because I just don't think we'll have really an opportunity. I know they play Cincinnati again, but we won't really have an opportunity to look at them and say, okay, they fix X, Y, and Z that they didn't fix in the first 7 weeks of the season, because I just don't think there's a game on their schedule, multiple games on their schedule, because not just one game, you got to see multiple games, where you go, okay, right opponent, all right, they made the adjustments in the fourth quarter, they fixed this, they fixed that. It's really going to be, once you get out of the wild card round, your in divisional weekend, when the competition picks up in the playoffs, can you get off the field? Can you play with the lead? Can you protect the lead? Then we'll really know what Baltimore is made out of.
And of course, like, we've seen the Ravens prove it in the regular season multiple years. Like, we know Lamar Jackson is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. We've seen him win the MVP. So you're right. There's no real questions left for them to answer in the regular season. And with the schedule being the way it is, outside of that Bengals game, the last game of the year, which again, could be meaningless depending on how these two teams go the rest of the season. You're right. The big questions will always come postseason time. And until they answer them and win multiple postseason games and maybe make a run to the Super Bowl, there's no real other way for them to make a true big-time statement in the AFC the rest of the way.
If I had to ask you to list me your top five AFC teams and who you think will be the top five AFC teams at the end of the season with what you've seen so far, who are your top five AFC teams?
Clearly, Bills 1, Chiefs 2.
Yeah, it's not debatable.
I would say Bengals 3. I'd go Ravens 4, Dolphins 5.
Okay. I have the same four. Now, my order, Bills 1, Chiefs 2 for now, since the Ravens beat the Bengals, I'll put the Ravens 3, Bengals 4. Pretty much the Ravens and Bengals. It's a tie for me right now. But if I had to pick one over the other, I would slightly, I feel like I change this answer every day. I would slightly go Ravens over Bengals, because we got to see if Chase could come back and be healthy. That's a big part of their offense. And then at five, you could go so many places with five. Because you could take one of the AFC East teams, the other AFC East teams like you just did. In the AFC North, we already gave you two teams. You're not going with the Steelers. You're not going with the Browns. The South, the best team in the AFC South is the Tennessee Titans. But I don't love their quarterback, Ryan Tannehill. And I don't think you could win with that quarterback. I'm going to bank on a guy that's playing hurt right now. I have zero confidence in his coach, but they got just a lot of talent. I know it's not been smooth sailing so far for the Los Angeles Chargers, and they've been ugly in some games that they should not be ugly in. I'll go the Chargers 5, and it's just purely based off talent on that team, not coaching, but talent winning out, and eventually Herbert hopefully getting healthier as the season does progress. Remember, Mike Williams out right now. Keenan Allen's been out of the lineup. J.C. Jackson now done for the year. So he's not coming back. But this team has just been decimated with injuries. Maybe they're not the Ravens like last year, where the injuries just keep on piling up. Maybe it levels out and you get guys healthy. And if they can get healthy, I do think they could be a threat. So I would go Bills 1, Chiefs 2. Ravens, Bengals, basically interchangeable. Slightly for now, like by 1% lean. Ravens 3, Bengals 4. And then I'll go with the Los Angeles Chargers in at number 5. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a timeout. When we come on back, we'll give you some thoughts on the weekend that is upcoming for college football.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Yep, it is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. This weekend coming up in college football, I wouldn't say it's a big weekend in college football. Really, the last 2-3 weeks, we've had big weekends in college football. Really, 2 weeks ago was awesome with all the marquee matchups that you had, literally from noon until probably like, I would say midnight almost, with that final game between USC and Utah, which went right down to the wire in that 43-42 Utah win from 2 weeks ago. And you also had Tennessee taking down Alabama that weekend. You had Michigan just destroying Penn State. You had a lot of good games in terms of big marquee teams playing, and it was a whole lot of fun that weekend, and you had TCU winning as well. Right now for this weekend, I'd say it's an average weekend, Hickey. Is that safe to say? Like, there's some fun matchups, some intrigue matchups, but I don't watch, and then we'll have a chaotic weekend. I don't really think that this is a week full of chaos in college football. Just continue to, if you're one of these teams that are going, trying to go to the college football playoff, you just got to win the games this weekend. Or if you're like a one-loss team, like in this game between Oklahoma State and Kansas State, you just got to, like Oklahoma State, you got to find the way to win to keep that college football playoff hope alive, whatever's still left of it.
I was going to say, on paper, looks like a pretty chalk weekend, but those are always, at least historically, the ones where chaos ensues, and it's not just one team. It's like three or four. We're sitting there like on a Sunday night like or Sunday morning. Like, what the hell just happened?
Well, yeah, you could have really good games. I just don't know how earth-shattering is probably the best way to say it this weekend is. Like, for example, you look at the top teams, Ohio State at Penn State. I know Penn State's going to be a raucous atmosphere. That is a noon kick. Ohio State's just a more talented team than Penn State. I can't see Sean Clifford out-dueling C.J. Stroud, and we know all the bevy of weapons that C.J. Stroud has to throw the football. And is the Penn State offense with their running game, is it a solid offense? Yes, but we just saw Penn State get annihilated by Michigan. So I'm going to assume here that this is not a game in the fourth quarter in the final 10 minutes or so that Ohio State's really going to be sweating up against Penn State. But you tell me I'm wrong since you are Mr. Penn State and you're wearing that disgusting, I mean, that Penn State shirt right now sitting across the other way. So you tell me how you think this game's going to go on out, play on out.
I think it will be close. I think Penn State will cover the 15.5. They will not win the game. They match up really well against Ohio State. Penn State's best unit, you could
so
say,
you
is their secondary.
So you think it's going to be close, but Ohio State's still going to win by at least 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, right in that range, right at 14 points. That's close for what Ohio State's been playing this year. Penn State always matches up well. Again, Ohio State's best unit is their receivers. Penn State's best unit is their secondary. They have, you know, depth there as well. They can match up well. I don't think they'll last for 4 quarters,
this
nor do I think
that. This is 17 to me.
I think that Penn State's offense will score enough, but I think they'll slow them down.
38-17, 38-20. That's probably where I'm in the realm of with that score.
I'm going to say 31-20.
It's not a blowout like, hey, it's 58-0, even though that would be pretty sweet. But I think it's a game where maybe Penn State plays a good half, like a solid half, but they will never be the superior team to Ohio State this weekend. So I like Ohio State, and I would lay – what did you say? It was 15?
15.5, I think, is what I saw recently.
That extra 15, half 15 point. And a half. Don't know if I – yeah, no, I still lay the 15.5 with Ohio State. TCU, West Virginia, or the Horned Frogs on upset alert this week going to a tough environment?
I'm a little nervous.
Really?
They've been living dangerously. They've played 4 ranked teams in a row. This has prime time letdown spot written all over it.
I'll trust Sonny Dykes and Duggan right now. And the receiver, Johnston, is really good, too. I think TCU, with what they've done, I'm not expecting them to go undefeated. But I would be surprised if this is the weekend that they go down. And I hear what you're saying. The last 4 weeks against 4 ranked teams inside the Big 12, they found a way to win every one of those games, clearly being undefeated. This would be really disappointing if they dropped this one to West Virginia.
The tricky part, too, is whether it's Oklahoma State or even last week against Kansas State, they've been flirting with danger. You know, they were down 28-10 against K-State and needed Adrian Martinez to leave the game in order for them to come back. And Oklahoma State, they were down, I felt like, 17 the entire game. Now, credit to them, they won both games. But it's also like when you're living kind of life on the edge like that, I feel like it tends to pop up, especially in a spot where you don't expect it like this one.
Here's the weird part, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but there was really not any big expectations for this team heading into the season. So when they're living life dangerously, yes, expectations change during the course of the season, but when you are undefeated at this point, and even Sonny Dykes, their head coach, joined us a few weeks ago, and he said he was surprised by this start because you never know what's going to happen. And this is the fourth time he's been a head coach. When you have a transition like that, a new coach coming in, there's usually a game that you lose that you're not supposed to. There's usually a few ugly performances. The fact that they haven't had that yet reflected in the loss column, because there's a big goose egg in the loss column, it's just got to make me think that they'll eventually lose a game, but they're going to lose a game to a big, they're going to lose a game to one of the better Big 12 teams than they would be losing this game to West Virginia, is just my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, the thing for them is, like, we went through their schedule, I think it was earlier this week. Like, this really, like, they went through basically the majority of their tests for the most part.
Do you have their schedule? Can you pull up their schedule right now? I just don't have a computer in front of me, and these computers here are so antiquated, as we found out from other shows this week, that I don't know if I'd be able to pull it up real quickly. I just want to see what their schedule is the rest of the way. I know we went through it early in the week, and I said that they would just come up short. Maybe that was going to the Big 12 championship game and losing in the Big 12 championship, but I did not think that they were going to go undefeated. You have the Horned Frog schedule.
Yes,
in
sir.
Front of you.
7-0, so obviously game number 8 is tomorrow against West Virginia. Then you back at home against Texas Tech.
Okay, that could be a tough game with Joey McGuire.
On the road the following week at Texas.
Yeah, okay. That I remember this other week. I said Texas could be the one that ends up burning them with Quinn Ewers.
On the road at Baylor.
Okay.
And you finish off at Iowa State.
The offense hasn't been that good for Aranda.
And then Iowa State to finish off their season, regular season.
Yeah, I would say Tech. I think the two games that they could lose, potentially, Texas Tech, and then I would say Texas. I would expect it more there than this weekend against West Virginia, but that's a tough place to play. It really is.
And this is they haven't been very good this year, but this is kind of like their Super Bowl, if you will. Like, this is kind of like the last big stand for JT Daniels and Neil Brown. So I think, with all that said, I think it's going to be close. I think TCU will win the game.
Duggan, though, it's kind of crazy how this guy wasn't the starter to begin the year. Then after 1 week an injury, he comes in. And I know this guy has a lot of experience, but he's played himself into a Heisman candidate.
He's been tremendous. He's been great.
He's been flawless.
He has.
And he wasn't even the starter to begin the season.
It's a great story.
That's why I love college football. I feel like we get a handful of those stories each and every year, where someone you were never talking about ends up dominating the conversation. And sometimes they're obvious, and then sometimes it's like, wow, I never saw it. Like, sometimes there's these stories, oh, I should have been able to see that. Like, for example, Blake Corum at Michigan. We should have been able to put it together that he would be a Heisman finalist, had a very good year, now getting more of the workload this year. Michigan, you looked at their schedule, you knew that they probably wouldn't drop one until the Ohio State game. We probably should have seen the Blake Corum story. But when it comes to Max Duggan, the guy wasn't even starting to begin the year. So there's no way to possibly predict that. Florida, Georgia this weekend. This game in Jacksonville. Billy Napier in year one already had his moment. And that moment, I remember saying this leading into that game, and I know this sounds bizarre, but when they're going up against Utah, I said, if they beat Utah, everyone's going to be like, Florida's back, Billy Napier's a stud, Anthony Richardson's great. And I remember saying, in a weird way, it may almost be better if they just lose a tight game against Utah, because year number one, I was not expecting that team to be really good. And then once you beat Utah, who was a college football playoff contender before the season started, you knew that expectations were going to go just completely out of order. And then this team has come back down to earth very quickly, and there's been some ugly moments this year. Could this be one of those games where you have a first-year coach who has a good reputation from his last job at Louisiana, where you go, okay, this is a big turning of the tide moment, I guess. George is just too damn good. And if you keep this game within two touchdowns, I think that's a win for Billy Napier coming up tomorrow. That's the most polite way I could say it. I'm trying to talk myself into Florida, and I know Georgia. See, if Georgia didn't have that scare against Missouri, like whenever you have a national champion or whenever you have a team that goes to college football playoff, there's always a game that you win that you shouldn't win. That already happened for Missouri. I think Georgia's just going to destroy Florida.
Of all the games we'll talk about here, were there some tricky, interesting matchups, especially rivalry-wise? I think this has the chance to be the biggest blowout.
We talked about Ohio State, Penn State, TCU, West Virginia, Florida, Georgia. We'll talk Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Kentucky, Tennessee, Ole Miss, A&M. You're probably right.
And even if you want to include Michigan, Michigan State because of the historic rivalry, I think Georgia-Florida still has a chance to be a bigger blowout than...
Tell you this, Kenneth Walker ain't walking through that door anytime soon.
No, he's not.
He's in Seattle, a big game up against the Giants. And you remember, Michigan was dominating that game up against Michigan State last year. And then you saw Kenneth Walker. He had a bad call by the refs, but really that was the Kenneth Walker game. He had five total touchdowns in that game. Yeah, I would say Georgia's team I'm most confident in this weekend. What do you think about Oklahoma State, Kansas State?
I'll take the Cowboys. Questions about the quarterback with Adrian Martinez, if he's going to play, if he's healthy, he's a leg injury, he's very mobile, so even if he plays, you're limited.
He's had a really good season, too. He's been really good. It's a shame that now he's banged up. I'll go Spencer Sanders. You know me. I've been in love with Spencer Sanders this year. I've been begging Hickey to try to get Oklahoma State to give him to us as a guest for whatever reason. The Cowboys are saying bleep Zach Gelb. So maybe I should be rooting for Kansas State in this one out of spite. But I hate that Oklahoma State, they should be undefeated. They blew that game against TCU. That was 2 weekends ago. And that crazy weekend of college football, they blew that game against TCU. And I still think, would you agree with this statement? I still think Oklahoma State, when all said and done, is going to be the most dangerous team in the Big 12 this year. I'm still thinking they win the Big 12 championship this season.
I can't go there. Their defense stinks.
Okay, so who are you taking them to win the Big 12?
I would still roll with TCU.
You would?
Yes.
So even if you have TCU losing to West Virginia, they still find a way to get to the Big 12 championship and get the job done?
Yes.
Kentucky, Tennessee. Your thoughts?
I weirdly feel good about Tennessee in this game. There's been a lot of momentum. Tennessee should wipe the floor, you would think. There's been a lot of momentum with Kentucky. Oh, you know, this is a classic look-ahead game because you got Georgia next week on the road. Kentucky's defense has been really good this year. So it's kind of a good test of, you know, strength-on-strength offense of Tennessee versus defense of Kentucky. I think the momentum and betting-wise has been a lot on Kentucky this year, on this week. Big spread, but I'll still go Vols.
Stoops has done a great job there.
Yes, he absolutely has.
Yeah, I can't bet against Hendon Hooker. And I really hope Tennessee wins, because then that would take, I wouldn't say take all the life out of it, but it would be so much more fun, if you want to say it that way, for Tennessee and Georgia then. Ole Miss, A&M. Ole Miss embarrassed last week. Finally, I guess, went up against a reputable opponent, and they just got destroyed. A&M's been a disaster with Jimbo Fisher. Is this a week where Ole Miss just can't get out of what happened last week? Or is just the opponent at A&M just been too inconsistent to believe that they're going to get the job done?
This is a good opponent for Ole Miss because I was, like I said, that was such a disappointing loss last week, but I think they'll bounce back, get the win. The A&M's just right now in total disarray.
This game, I would not touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Also agreed.
I could not make a play on this game in terms of a bet because I would not be surprised if Ole Miss is in such a funk from what happened last week. And then for A&M, whenever you want to say A&M is done, they give you a big-time effort. So I would avoid this game if I had to make a play. Oh, I really want to lean to A&M, but I'll slightly lean, Ole Miss.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Introducing a new offer from Xfinity. It's unlimited internet with gig speed and supersonic Wi-Fi. And get this, there's no annual contract required, no equipment fees, and a 2-year internet rate guarantee. It even comes with a free Flex 4K streaming box. It's all just $50 a month when you add Xfinity Mobile with unlimited data. The supersonic bundle. Go to Xfinity.com/gig, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store to learn more. Limited time offer. Restrictions apply. Requires paperless billing and auto pay. New gigabit internet customers only. Xfinity Mobile requires postpay Xfinity internet. After 24 months, regular rates apply to all services and devices.